Greetings, podcast listeners, and welcome to the February issue of the Colorado Review podcast. My name's Daniel Schoening, and joining me today is poet, book review editor for Colorado Review, and all-around nice guy, Dan Beachy-Quick. Thanks for coming, Dan.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be extending our longer editor series of speaking to the folks at the helm of Colorado Review by talking about the last genre we have not yet touched on, book reviews. So Dan reviews or manages the reviews of exclusively poetry. And how long have you been in this gig?
I think 10 or 11 years I've been doing it.
Wow. And so in the beginning, what was the learning curve? What is the thing that you've learned over the course of your tenure?
I think it's generous to suggest there's been a curve. I feel pretty like I've been on the plateau of learning the whole time. You know, I wrote reviews for many years before coming here and being asked to kind of helm the poetry review side of things. And I did it simply to find a way to think back towards books that mattered most to me and felt it was both a kind of service and a gift back to books and poems and poets that might otherwise never know they were read deeply. And that became a kind of practice for myself that really ended up turning into larger works of literary essays, which is also to say I somehow am no longer writing reviews. And I think in part in lieu of that, the getting to edit for Colorado Review eases some prick of conscience in me that I'm no longer doing that by at least helping others further this necessary kind of work. And the learning curve is, you know, it's really as simple as reviews come in and I read them and make what suggestions feel appropriate, and the reviewer says yes or no to those, and if it all works out, we have a review that ends up online. So I don't feel like I've had a real, you know, journey.
Yeah. And so having just spoken about the utility of those reviews, of someone then knowing that someone has read deeply and thought deeply about their book, what do you feel is the difference in that texture between perhaps just being a deep reader for yourself and what book reviews might call a person writing them to attend to that they otherwise wouldn't?
You know, I the reviews I love the most offer, like, still, I think, a kind of idiosyncratic sense of what a given reader's mind does with a given book, but traces it out in such a way that as much as it is a kind of testimony to how a singular mind grapples with a singular work of art, offers a kind of imprint that any given reader might be able to follow. And that feels really valuable to me. I'm really have questions about reviews that tend towards the general in any particular kind of way, or don't find myself worrying about accessibility as the primary issue a review should care about, just as I don't think poems should really care about that, and do ideally see a review as a deeply creative personal act. At the same time, that act has to be done in such a way that the reader of the review can use it as a springboard into a book that they get to experience individually, idiosyncratically, for themselves.
Yeah. And I think exactly as you put it, I've had the good pleasure of writing a few reviews for Colorado Review, and it feels like one of the pitfalls or one of the worries when composing them is that, especially in reference to poetry, the gesture is trying to reify something that has been, or it risks reifying something that's been distilled so carefully and wonderfully into a book that if you're reviewing, hopefully you love. And so to offer commentary on it or to try to offer it to readers that might not have been exposed to the work itself without just simply handing them the book feels like at once it risks ego or risks the person that's producing it to corrupt that original thing that affected them so deeply and wonderfully. But in the reverse, to feel like a participant in something that you love so deeply is so wonderful. To have what feels at the end a personal connection with the person that's produced this thing is mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah, I think ideally, you know, the ideal review is an homage in a certain kind of sense, but it's giving back a thinking to the book that the book itself has made possible. Mm-hmm. And that undoes the danger of that kind of reviewer. And I think there are many such reviewers whose primary interest is a demonstration of his or her or their intelligence. And, mm-hmm. and that intelligence is very seldom the intelligence of the book. Very good reviewers are remarkably in tune, are tuning their own writing to the intelligence that isn't theirs, and their reviews are filled with that kind of care and humility.
Mm-hmm. And you, of course, are the book review editor for poetry. Susan Donnelly Cheever is the book review editor for prose and creative nonfiction and fiction. In your experience, do you feel that there is a significant distance between the gesture or the act or the, like you offered, the kind of intelligence required to engage with those genres distinctly? Or do you feel there's overlap and the same kind of necessity arrives for each?
When I started doing this, I was the review editor in general, so I was also dealing with the fiction and the nonfiction, mm-hmm. Which oddly is an experience that doesn't provide me with an answer for what you're asking. What does feel true to me is that there's something about poets and poetry and the reviewing of poetry by poets typically that somehow is more inherent inside poetic culture in some way. There's mm-hmm. almost, I think, a kind of rite of passage that young poets go through in writing reviews in some way in order to step honestly and more truly and humbly into the larger field. And one of the great pleasures, I think, of writing reviews is how often those poets who are being reviewed reach out and find it. Like it creates community in a mm-hmm. very interesting kind of way. And because I never wrote a review of fiction and I've mm-hmm. never really written a review of nonfiction, I don't know if that happens in the same kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I don't, of course, teach those writers either.
Yeah. In your professional writing, having done a deep dive exploration of Keats in A Brighter Word Than Bright and variously in Whaler's Dictionary of Moby Dick, it feels like the gestures of those creative critical works are akin to those in book reviews, that there's a bridge being made by this original material, this body of work, or this single piece mm-hmm. That then is being built upon, derived from, being a connection being made by the person writing now. Do you feel that there's a difference in that texture and in temporal distance as opposed to just a spatial distance, if writing on a contemporary versus a one who's maybe 200 years hence?
You know, that's a complicated question. I know time does large things. I don't wholly know what those large things exactly are. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it really depends upon the particular texture of the contemporary one's writing about. Mm-hmm. You know, there are contemporary poets and their poetries are remarkably filled with centuries of work, which is to say that the review has the chance to attend to the cares, topics, subjects, histories, identities, all that the poems themselves are immersed in. And so oddly, the review becomes a kind of participation across time. For poets that are more firmly in the contemporary and maybe don't reveal as essentially their particular roots inside poetry and its traditions, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions in general about contemporary poetry. I simply don't know mm-hmm. how to answer. I still think it's nice to write a review.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. And With that in mind, you spoke wonderfully about the ethics of that process already, but Colorado Review, and I think rightly, doesn't publish reviews that are scathing critiques of books of poetry. No one is tearing down the thing they've read and said that this doesn't live up to whatever standard has been set for it, or et cetera, et cetera. Why is that? And it might feel obvious, but for those listening that might want to offer a really juicy teardown of someone, why wouldn't we accept that?
Well, why we wouldn't accept that versus why I wouldn't accept that mm-hmm. are probably different answers in some way. My answer is that it actually goes back to your last question is, you know, the work that might warrant someone writing a negative review of it, time will take care of that negative review, which mm-hmm. is to say poetry that doesn't find a way to survive through decades because it's not doing essential, honest work. Mm-hmm. Time will take care of all of those kinds of things, and it's some weird human arrogance to think we can act on behalf of time in that way. Mm-hmm. I think the we answer is much more sane than what I just said, which seems crazy, which is it's why give the energy to promoting that which undoes a field that has to be marked by generosity? Mm-hmm. And you know, often very negative reviews come out of the kind of ego you were talking about earlier, that, mm-hmm. that it's a position one is taking and is often taking for the fact of their own particular pleasures and biases rather than whatever it is the work is doing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes there's just bad work. There's bad mm-hmm. poems and people get in an uproar. But to spend your time writing about that which you dislike rather yeah. than writing towards that which you might love, I don't know, it can't be good for the soul.
Agreed. As ever at Colorado Review, we have lots going on in addition to this podcast. Wonderfully, the spring 2020 issue of Colorado Review is available for purchase now at the Colorado Review website, which is coloradoreview.colostate.edu. Also there, you can pick up the latest installment in the Mountain West poetry series, Jamie McCarty's The Minuses. Also available is Brandon Krieg's Magnifier, selected by Judge Kazem Ali as the winner of the latest Colorado Prize for Poetry. If any of those selections sounds so exciting that you simply cannot wait for a delivery to be made, you can find all of them at our AWP booth at AWP 2020. Track us down, get a free fortune cookie that might include within it a free subscription to Colorado Review, and come say hi to any and all of our editors, but especially me and Evan. We'll be manning the booth, and we'd be delighted to hear that you've been listening. Both Jamie McCarty and Brandon Krieg will have book signings during AWP, so make sure you track those down to get some FaceTime with the poets. If you haven't done so already, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and sign up for our monthly newsletter to get all things Colorado Review at your doorstep. And so as part of this series, we've spoken with editors of those very genres and asked after what recommendations they have directly for folks that are considering submitting to their genre. Much of what you've offered so far does just that. But do you have any lingering recommendations for someone who might be considering submitting a book review to be published online at Colorado Review?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to remember that a good review is a reading. And mm-hmm. and by that I mean it's an attempt to make sense of the largest, deepest concerns of the book that's being considered. So one thing that I think is wise to avoid is writing a review that simply quotes poem after poem and the analysis is, and this poem does this, and this poem does that, and this poem now does this. Mm-hmm. That is essentially a moving through the book without any effort to actually tie what the poems are doing into a larger vision or a coherent form of thinking. Mm. And in that way, there's a slight essayistic quality, though an essay that wears its seriousness, I think, lightly. Mm. To the reviews that I'm most likely to publish. Mm-hmm. But the effort is really to give us not what individual poems inside a given book are doing, but what the book is doing via all of those poems together.
Mm-hmm. And on a pragmatic level, if one wanted to pursue a book review with Colorado Review, to whom would they reach out? Would they receive review copies if requested? What's the definite process of that kind of seeking?
You can reach out to me or to Jess Turner, who's the managing editor, we can get you on a list that we send to our reviewers of books you can choose from. Mm-hmm. You can also reach out personally to me and send me any reviews you've done before so I can kind of get a sense if what you're doing is a fit. And mm-hmm. I have books also that I kind of individually assign to reviewers that I've worked with over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking for people who really value reviewing for Colorado Review and kind of trust the type of thinking reviews that we give. And I'm always open to people wanting to do that work or even wanting to begin it and work hard to read the reviews and offer ways of revising if that is needed to help that thinking achieve itself more fully.
Mm-hmm. And having been to Dan's office, he really does have a stack almost high as the ceiling of review copies that have come in that he's read. and so it really, and I think the more that you can offer what your specific focus is or where you are attending in your own poetry and your reviews, there's a wealth of opportunities to cater that to exactly our book review section at Colorado Review. Those that do submit and have their book review accepted get a free copy of the Colorado Review, though they aren't paid, they will feature on our website at coloradoreview.colostate.edu. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
As ever, we at the Colorado Review podcast are indebted to Stephanie Geschwind, editor-in-chief of Colorado Review and director of the Center for Literary Publishing. Also to Arne Geschwind, who produced the wonderful music that you heard throughout this podcast. Sincere thanks to everyone listening for joining us for the February issue of the Colorado Review podcast. I'm Daniel Schoening, and I hope to have you back here again in March.